Blog Talk Radio.
Is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard. And you know what? I don't get it. Thursday. Today is Saturday. It is Saturday morning. Thursday afternoon, 75 degrees and sunny. Saturday morning, 30 degrees and snowy. Now, there's no climate change. There's no climate change. So I don't get political on this show, but, you know, can we get, like, the national weatherman, like someone that just talks about the weather nationally, you know, like kind of gathers all of the local reports and says, hear ye, here's where we are in weather, because this is crazy, crazy weather. So, hey, see, we'd be remiss if we did not make some mention of the terrible shooting down in Florida, 17 innocent lives taken away by a gunman once again. So I hope and pray that as they heal, our leaders will make sure that we do the right thing on that, whatever the right thing is. To me, the right thing is to make sure this doesn't happen again. I don't think it's real hard, but I don't work at Capitol Hill or 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So I do know one note from that story was the assistant football coach, high school football coach. And, you know, I was looking at all of the tweets and different postings about that coach. And, you know, there are a lot of coaches out there who are saving kids' lives, not necessarily that way. I mean, by taking a bullet is the way he did it. But, wow, there's so many coaches. And just shout out to all those guys. You know who you are. If you're listening, you know who you are, who are out there saving kids' lives every day. I thought it was ironic that also the athletic director was one of the people who was shot, you know, running towards the bullet. So it's something about sports that brings people together. Let's not lose sight of that. So anyway, you know, peace and blessings to that community. We got a great show today. Great show. We got, of course, our pay attention topic. I think we got a real good one. You know, if you heard the intro music, you heard towards the tail end a touchdown by Jordan Reed. Well, one of the pay attention topics is Redskin tight end because no one's talking about it, and they should. So you'll hear about that in our pay attention segment. As well, we'll talk a little NFL combine coming up soon, rapidly approaching. So kind of want to give a NFL combine 101 to those listeners out there. And then on the second half of the show, Black Panther's out. Black Panthers out. It's funny because, you know, I remember being at the University of Pittsburgh and they were raising money to build a statue of a Black Panther. I didn't think anything of it. I gave 50 cents. And later on in life, I went back to my university where I posed with the Black Panther. And that picture still hangs in my wall today. And so this movie is amazing and it's catching all kinds of wildfire. And so I'm excited. We're going to bring back Fit with Joy in her segment, Joy Henry, to talk about the fitness of, you know, being in a movie like this. And I don't know if you've seen the movie yet or if you've seen maybe the trailers, but these people are amazingly fit. And of course, she is. And so she's going to give us a 411 on that. So we're looking forward to that. But, of course, as always, we got to get into our pay attention topics. And we got a couple of them. and I mentioned Skins tight end. I want to get into that a little bit. Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, really good player, probably a pro bowler, but he only played 6 games last year. So, you know, we can't count on Jordan Reed. Not durable. He's had multiple concussions. I think, you know, I don't want to say he's gone on record to say if he gets one more, he's retiring. But he's got enough money, he doesn't have to play anymore. So if he gets one more, he's retiring. Vernon Davis, you know, he had a good season last year, but 34 is 34 in the NFL and at tight end. And when you're expected to block and run routes, that's a tall order to ask of Vernon Davis. I know he's beating the fountain of youth there, and he's drinking the purple juice, but that's not the answer. Jeremy Sprinkle, they drafted. And you know what? I like Jeremy Sprinkle. I think he can catch more than they made him a target. My concern is, though, that his size, you just kind of plug him in as a blocker, and they need more than a blocker. So what are their options at tight end? Well, they've got a couple. First, re-signing Niles Paul. Now, I'm not a big Niles Paul fan. He's a wide receiver. He really is. But he's too slow to play wide receiver, so they moved him to tight end. Well, he's too small to play tight end. So while he gives all his heart and effort and he cuts guys and he tries to block, he's not going to maul anybody. He's not going to really – and that running game needs a mauler. So I think re-signing him is smart to get depth, to keep his leadership. He's a great special teamer. I think arguably one of the top 10 special teamers in the league. So I think you got to re-sign Niles Paul. Not to a lot of money, but he's a real Redskin. He'll get it. Now, here's the other thing you could do. Get your free agent, get your tight end in free agency. Now, there's a good one, former Golden Domer, Tyler Eifert. Now, Tyler's with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is, I think, a Pro Bowl tight end. Put him with Jay Gruden. He already knows the offense because Cincinnati runs the same offense as the Redskins. So he fits right in. He can block for you. He can run routes for you. He can start right away. You really could, I don't want to say cut Jordan Reed, but you definitely could cut Jordan Reed or Vernon Davis, whichever one you want. You wouldn't have to keep both of them if you signed Tyler Eifert. You wouldn't be able to afford it. Now, here's the other thing you could do. You could go on the cheap. You could go on the cheap and get the Denver Broncos' Virgil Green. Virgil Green's been in the league 8 years, so he's got experience. I know most of you out there don't know who he is. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's Rick Doc Walker. Remember when Doc Walker would just come in and block and maybe catch one or two passes on a third down in a year? That's Virgil Green. So as bad as this run game needs a blocking tight end, more than it needs a receiver, if you want a tight end on the cheap with a new quarterback coming in that you paid way too much money for, Virgil Green's your guy. We could talk about Redskins all day long, but let's move to this Arizona cheerleader being ejected at a basketball game. That's right. Now, I know the Arizona State-Arizona game is a big deal. I've been to Phoenix. I've been to Tucson. I've been to Glendale. I get it. I know. It's a big deal. But here's the kid goes up to the free throw line. He's ready to take his shot. So, by rule, the game is still in progress. Everyone should know that. So then there's starting to be some heckling. Now, a fan buys a ticket, sits up in the stand. They are allowed to heckle. But the referee goes, looks over at this cheerleader who's right on the floor, right under the basket, and he stares at him, and he admonishes him. And the cheerleader responds back, "Not today, Remy," Remy being the name of the referee. So the referee from afar said, "Please stop heckling using your megaphone." And he says again, "Today, Remy," through the megaphone. So before the next free throw, the referee ejects the cheerleader. Now, I didn't think that this was a rule, so I'm thinking maybe this is some home cooking here. But no, after doing my research, it is a rule. It is the cheerleader violated Rule 10, Article 8 of the NCAA playbook rule book, which says cheerleaders shall not commit unsportsmanlike conduct, and it specifically talks about using megaphones while the game is in progress. So the kid broke a rule. And they don't call technical fouls on cheerleaders. They just eject you. That's the consequence. Now, the cheerleader, I think, had the last laugh because Arizona beat Arizona State. Interesting little story right there. Real interesting story. But let's move. Olympic. Olympic gold. Olympic medals. Have you been watching? We're halfway through, right? And some of the big names really fizzled out, you know, especially, you know, look at Shawnee Davis. We just talked about him last week in our pay attention topic. Didn't even medal. Didn't even qualify. He couldn't make it past the heat. Awful. So, but here's what I really want to talk about. Let's look at the medal count. Norway, 21 medals, 7 gold. Germany, 16 medals, 9 gold. Canada, 15 medals, 5. The Netherlands, 13 medals, 6 gold. And in fifth place, the United States of America, 9 medals, 5 gold. Now, I'm bringing this up because, oh, let us not forget our friends, the Olympic Athletes of Russia, OAR, 9 medals, 0 gold medal. This just isn't our game. It's not. This is not, maybe the president was on to something about Norway. I don't know. But the Winter Olympics does not appear to be something that we are either not interested in, not good at. I don't understand how a country with the amount of money we have is not able to put on a better product than fifth in the medal standing. Fifth to countries like Norway and the Netherlands. Who knows anything? I had forgot these countries existed. We got to do something better. I don't know what it is, but here's what I think it is. What I think it is it's cold. We don't like cold, and I'm not sure if we're sending our best athletes over there. Yeah, I think our best athletes are training right now for 2020. If you're listening closely, you know exactly what I mean. By the way, little tiny Liechtenstein, they got 1 bronze medal. Is it 2020 yet? I can't wait. All right. Well, that is a perfect, perfect segue to today's real pay attention topic. Today's pay attention topic, bobsleds are expensive. Yes, they are. And I, if you didn't know that, you're hearing it for the first time now. Bobsleds are expensive. Well, guess what happened to our friend, the Jamaican bobsled team? Their coach, Sanda Kirasis, quit abruptly, just up and left, and said that the bobsled is hers. Now, while the athletes tried to say, well, wait, you're working for Jamaica, you're an agent of Jamaica, she said, no, I'm not. I'm the coach. I'm in charge. I'm quitting, and I'm taking my bobsled with me. So in a mad scramble, the team decides, all right, let's reach out. There's a company in Germany. They make bobsleds. Let's see if we can borrow one, rent one, this, that, and the other. So that company says, sure, we'll sell you one, right? But here's the thing. We need a signer. Guess who the team picked as the signer? The coach that quit. So even the backup bobsled belonged to the coach because the coach was the signer. Jeez, give me a break. So now what do they do? The bobsled, the competition's coming up. The qualifying round is coming up. This coach is rolling out. It's a long way from Pyeongchang to Kingston, Jamaica. It's a long way. So the coach rolls out, took both bobsleds with her. So now there's an issue. So here's what happened. You are not going to believe this. Only in Jamaica, Red Stripe Brewing Company bails out. They pay $50,000 to get the backup sled back from the coach. Of course, now they can do all types of marketing. That thing will probably be plastered with Red Stripe logo on it. They come to the rescue via Twitter. They said, no sled, no problem. Send us a tweet, direct message. The bobsled team did it, and it cost them $50,000. And the money was wired yesterday to the Jamaican Bobsled Federation. They got the money, they got the sled, and they're going to be able to compete. So next week I'm going to give you an update on where the Jamaican bobsled team is. For whatever reason, this team always, always makes some noise during the Olympics. So this week we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL Combine. It's coming up. It's coming fast and furious. It's going to be on TV, and I think you should watch it. But do you even know what it is? What is this combine? I'm going to tell you. We'll be right back. Chuck Brown's going to take us out. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chucky talking about needing money, and I know 335 guys that are getting their plane tickets ready. I've been on a plane with them before, and those are the invitees for the NFL Combine, which is rapidly approaching. Don't want to miss it. What is the NFL Combine? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. First of all, it starts next Tuesday, February 27th through March the 5th. It's a four-day event, given travel, this and the other. 335 college players are invited to this thing. Now, there's some regional combines if you weren't in the top 335. There's some regional combines and maybe guys from smaller schools or guys with less statistics, will be invited to those. It's held at Lucas Oil Field, which is home of the Indianapolis Colts. So they always have home field advantage on this one. And it's basically a meat market. That's what it is. It's an opportunity for general managers, scouting professionals, player personnel guys, player development guys, trainers, coaches, media to just go and watch guys get tested. And so what happens is, they break up into groups. So the first day you fly in and they put you all into groups. So the first group are the specialist groups. These are the long snappers, kickers, punters, holders, return guys, that sort of thing. They come in. Then the next day, offensive guys come in, tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks, receivers. The next day, it's just D-line and linebackers. They've got their own day. And then on the last day, it's all DBs, which should tell you something about, these are probably the best athletes on the field are the defensive backs. And there's so many of them that they get their own day. So it's pretty cool stuff. And so what a day really looks like for them, they're measured. Now, can you imagine? Just think about this now, because this sounds eerily similar to one of the worst ills in our country's history, which is slavery. You're flown in to a foreign land, right? So if you're in California or Alabama or Maine or wherever you are, you're flown into Indianapolis, Indiana, okay? You get off the plane, and they put you in a group, okay? So they look at you and go, oh, well, you're a quarterback. Go over there with the other quarterback. So you kind of grouped off, right? It sounds, again, eerily familiar. Then they measure you. And when I tell you, they measure everything. And I think every year people are amazed at the hand measurement. So what they do is they measure you from the top of your pinky to the top of your thumb. They measure that. They measure the size of your head. They measure the size of your calves. They measure the size of your quads. They got every measurement imaginable. Of course, your chest, your back, everything. It's unbelievable that you're just okay. Anyway, then like cattle, you're herded off to the doctor, and they do physicals. Now, these physicals, they're checking everything. But the number one thing they're checking are drugs, steroids, and weed. So every year, one guy gets sent home because he has weed in his system during a combine. Who is that guy's age? I mean, that guy's got to be dumber than a dead fish. Why would you smoke your weed the week prior to the combine, idiot? Why? The drug down. Now, once they give you these physicals, and if you think this is just some security guard $35 physical, you're crazy. This is full blown. They are poking. They are probing. They are prodding everything to try and find out, do you have any injuries that you aren't talking about? Did you just have maybe some scar tissue cleaned up in your shoulder? Did you have an ACL that hasn't healed 100%? They're going to find out. All right, now, then what do you do? See, I'm tired already. All right, now what do you do? Now you go over and they measure you from the head up. So they take you through psych tests. You're definitely going to do the Wunderlich test. But they got so many, their team does it. So let's say the Ravens are interested in you. You're going to go through whatever psychological test the Ravens want you to go through, whether it's sitting in a room and staring at a painting and writing down a 1,000-word essay on the painting, or one of these trying to, you know, when you're trying to find a job and you take these behavioral tests to see if you get along with people, they're going to find out. It's exhausting. And every year again, every year, a guy does poorly on his psych test. Now, does that kick you out of being drafted? No. But what I've seen it do is maybe a third-round guy is now a sixth-round guy because he failed the Wunderlich test. That's not good. There's a big difference in money. You're talking millions from third round to sixth round. All right. So are we done yet? Now they're going to put you in front of the media. So then there's a media day, and you saw what the Super Bowl media day is like. And so the media is asking these idiotic, silly questions and all these hypotheticals to try and see, again, how you behave. Can you talk? Can you communicate? What are your interpersonal skills? And here's the sad part. The owners of the team, the general managers, they're just sitting there watching you the whole time like you're a piece of meat. It's almost like they're counting their money in their head about how much money they can make off of your body and your mind. This sounds really, really familiar to me. Anyway, let me keep going. So then after the media, which is exhausting, then you go to the bench press. Now, I just want to tell you, the bench press is so overrated. It's so overrated, but it's something that football, it's the three things. Now, you do about 11 physical tests, but the bench press, the 40, and the three-cone race, those are like the big predictors. Now, I can say the bench press doesn't work. It doesn't work. Steven Paya holds the record at 49 bench presses at 225. Steven Paya is a backup in the NFL, a backup at best, probably won't be in the league next season. So it's really, you know, if you look at the 40, the guy that ran the fastest time, the kid from Washington last year, barely got on the field. So this stuff doesn't really work, but it sounds good. You know, it's almost like, you know, how many logs can you lift? I mean, who cares? I mean, if you're building a house by hand, who cares how many logs you can lift? Just building the house is tough. You got all of these things. Now, after you go through all of these tests, physical tests, Then the team interviews you. Now, this is in the evening, after dinner or over dinner. The team that may want to draft you, may be interested in you, they then interview you. And so here we go again. Because, again, let's use the Redskins as the example. So you're a young player. You're 22 years old, just trying to find your way in the world. You're in this foreign land. And this billionaire is sitting across from you asking you a million questions. And then he leaves. And then the guy under him, call him the overseer, we'll call him the general manager, will then look at you. And he's looking at your hands while you're eating. And, you know, I don't want to say he's looking at your teeth, but I think they watch you chew. I really believe it. These team interviews. All right. Now, then that night you go back on the field, even though you were already on the field earlier, and you do an on-the-field workout. And these are, again, more drills and more this and that. It's really, really a lot. So this combine for the real football NFL junkie, it's good because you could probably find out a player that you know your team needs. So, you know, I'm thinking about tight end. I talked about that with the Redskins earlier. Well, if the Skins wanted to draft a tight end, which would be cheaper, by the way, than getting Tyler Eifert. Remember, I said their option was to go through free agency to get a tight end. They can draft one, but they just drafted one. They drafted Jeremy Sprinkle last year from Arkansas. So maybe they don't want to do that anymore. I can tell you what they do need. They always need defensive linemen. And there's a guy named Nathan Shepard. Keep your eye on him during the combine. Here's why. First of all, 6'4", 310-pound defensive tackle. He's a senior, so he's mature, right? As mature as a senior can get. He ran a 4.93 40. He ran it three times. 4.93 was his best time. That's pretty good. Don't have any numbers on his bench press. He's projected as a third-round pick. Now, here's the problem. Skins don't have a third-round pick. They gave it away for Kendall Fuller. Badness because they could have gotten a guy like Nathan Shepard from tiny little Fort Hays State University. This guy went to the Senior Bowl and was a top 15 performer. This guy is what the Redskins need, and they can watch him at the combine. But because they traded that pick away for Alex Smith in the Kendall Fuller package, they probably won't get him. Keep your eye on Nathan Shepard. I think he's going to be a big-time player in the NFL, and I'm curious to see how he does at the combine now. Remember what I said. He's 22 years old, coming from a faraway land. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. At Fort Hays State, they don't go to a bowl game. He hasn't been told to lift a weight probably since November. What kind of shape is he going to come in? When he does his physical, is he going to be in any shape? I don't know. I don't know anything about his mental aptitude. Did he graduate? I don't know. I don't know. Can he talk? We'll find out when the media puts the microphone in front of him. And peculiar enough, we had no news on his bench press. Undocumented. Why is that? I don't know. So, as much as I think he'd be a really good Redskin player, I really don't know a lot about him. Find out a whole lot about him in these 4 days at the combine. We'll see what happens. So anyway, if you didn't know about the NFL Combine, you know now. So go out, make sure you got that channel. It's going to be on NFL Network round the clock. I think you'll enjoy it. And we'll see what happens with our friend Nathan Shepard. So look here. Nathan's going to get some money real soon. We're going to take a quick break. Chuck's going to play us some money. And then we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, speaking of money, this Black Panther movie, $200 million. I'll bet you in that budget is personal training and fitness. No doubt in my mind. No doubt. So we're going to bring in Joy Henry, Fit with Joy, and her segment's going to be all about that movie, Black Panther, and the fitness that went around it. I don't know if I could have been in that movie. Well, you know what, though? There was a guy in the movie who was like the uncle of the Black Panther or whatever. He's in all the movies. I can't think of his name right now. I think I'm in better shape than him. But we'll be. All right. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck, we do need money. We do need money. $200 million worth of movie went into the Black Panther movie. And you know, I really, really hope that the movie had some success. You know, I'm not big on the superhero movies or action-themed movies. You know, my favorite movies are like Rudy and Rocky and The Program, and, you know, sports-themed movies. But this movie, you know, in its indirectly, in its own quiet way, it too has a lot of athleticism in it, the fight scenes and this and that. So we want to bring in our Fit with Joy segment, Joy Henry, to come in and join us to talk about the Black Panther movie and how it relates to fitness. Joy, are you there?
I am here, Coach. And just so you know, I was definitely listening to the show earlier, and most recently you did talk about a character and his physique. And I'll let you know that he is Forrest Whitaker, and he's about over 60 or something years old. So he got to get the pass if you want.
Okay, I got it. So his name is Forrest Whitaker.
Yes,
all
he was
right,
in the last
I'm
going to
challenge
Scotland.
Forrest. Right, last. Okay, good. So here's what I want. I want Forrest Whitaker to meet me at Crossland High School to run a 400-yard dash. Now, run, walk, or crawl, and the winner gets bragging rights. So I think I'm winning that one. So now look, tell us about this this Black Panther movie. Is all over social media and even just the mainstream media. It's all over the place. Fitness plays a role in this movie? How so? I don't get it.
There's so many implications in society, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention Black History Month. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the Black Panther aspect. And just the sense of the Black Panther Party and how they assemble people and be able to do their different abilities and techniques and things of that nature. So they have a 10-point program. I'll specifically talk about one in particular, which has some social implications that are the appeals and what we see. So everybody particularly plays their role in the movie. And that can be from being sleek, being stealth, being quick, being powerful, being able to use technology, and using their wit.
So what you're saying is this was more than just your everyday superhero movie where they pull out their utility belt or their special cape or what have you. These superheroes are actually using their athletic ability and their mind to beat the villain. Is that how this works?
Exactly. And if we talk more about my program, mainly what I am, Fit with Joy, the wit aspect comes into it full circle. It's in the middle. The ability to not just be physical, but the ability to use your mind over anything.
Wow. So now I'm looking at some of these posters and that from and the trailers and all that. Everybody in this movie is in phenomenal shape. So, I mean, is this part of it? I mean, did they look for people who are in magnificent shape? Do the actors have to train, I guess?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because it's like we go back to Forrest Whitaker. He's played in a number of roles. And so there's sometimes typecasting, but then it's for the benefit. And I think particularly with this movie, you had Chadwick Boseman. And he's T'Challa. He's the king to be of Wakanda. As you'll see, he's played in multiple roles before, as Jackie Robinson and even in James Brown. And the training for those particular movies are different, of course, because you have one athlete, the baseball player, and then you have another one who's an entertainer in James Brown, and he can dance with the best in them no matter how old he was. Rest in peace, the late, great James Brown. So now you have an action-packed movie where he now has to embody not just the strength of a nation, but the ability to withstand anybody that contends against him. So his physique, particularly, and who he is as Chadwick Boseman, to become the king, he's about 6 feet, 40-year-old, about 190-something pounds. So he has to be able to be quick. He has to be able to be wiry and use that strength to fight off the likes of people who want to take his crown. And that being in M'Baku. M'Baku is a bigger, stronger, and that stereotype of the ape man. So he has that big, gorilla-like st- understands that he can overpower him. But you have to be able to use the combat training that T'Challa, as Chadwick Boseman had with Croix Magrah, Kuiper, the ability to move quick and use technique to be able to disarm your enemy.
So now what about the ladies? You mentioned Chadwick Boseman, who is a dreamy-looking man. Okay, I get it. But I thought the ladies stole the show as well. I mean, you talk about Michelle Obama arms. I mean, tell us about the ladies in this thing.
Oh, most definitely. You got to start with the queen. So Chadwick Boseman wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for, you know, him being T'Challa and his mom being Angela Bassett's Romana. So the fact that she's just there of the nation, her husband just passed, and she's trying to instill that presence and that ability to take on and lead in her son, she just stands there just elegantly and gracefully and, you know, folds her arms and just struts and bears those arms without even having to hurl any kind of weaponry or any kind of physical prowess. She just has the presence in a sense. And so, I mean, we've seen her in movies before, as we talked about a couple of other characters and the roles that they play. She's played in the Nelson Mandela movie, where she was the wife. She played in Betty Shabazz, and specifically the Black Panther aspect of being the strong, the backbone. So we see a lot of those particular archetypes in the movie. With not just her, we see that in Nakia. And she's also played in a number of movies where she's been the backbone. And she has the ability to be speedy, agility, and quickness. And a lot of them, they train particularly for it with stunts. There's a lot of different roles with the general who specifically, like I said, carries that spear and the shield, and she charges an army of women. Yes, specifically women that protect T'Challa. And if it wasn't for T'Challa's strength behind that with the women, it wouldn't really be him being the king if he would be able to do any of the missions.
Wow. You know, I had no idea that fitness played such a role in a movie like this. I would have thought, you know, you heard me mention, like, Rocky is that's kind of my favorite movie. And I remember, you know, the Rocky scenes where he's getting trained and Apollo Creed is training him and this. And I thought that was a big deal. But you've taken this to a whole new level. I mean, you basically have named the whole cast of extremely fit athletes as actors. This is pretty good. Tell us about the villain here. This villain guy, he played in another movie as a boxer or something or other. Tell us more about him.
Great segue, and that's when I was about to interject and mention that the fact that there are not just the physical aspect, as I talked about, fit with joy, the wit part, the ability to remember your lines, the ability to know at what part you invoke emotion. And that physical being also comes one and the same, where you're able to think and become that character. So I'm sure there are multiple takes where they had to go hand-to-hand combat. So that's the fitness level, not just physically, but mentally. And as a track and field athlete, we've always been told 90% of it is mental, can do anything if you put your mind to it. And so with this particular character, his trainer, Corey Calliott, definitely put him through that. He put them through that in 2015, and that being Michael B. Jordan in the Rocky movie, playing Creed's son. The ability to go from what the trainer said, he couldn't even lift up 15 pounds, to being able to run through the streets of Philadelphia, to being able to go up the Rocky Stairs, to being able to go in there and hit the heavy bat, to the speed, agility drills and hitting the fast-moving bag, just a whole bunch of different variations and taking your body through it. And, again, it's also mental more than it is physical. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. So from him transitioning from the 2015 role, awesome movie, of course, to being a villain, you know, he's the ability to be that protagonist. Now he's the villain here in the Black Panther, and his physique had to change. He had to look that of a very menacing individual. So we have the Afghanistan vet who's been able to acquire so many kills, and you see that in the bump scars that he has all over his body, 1,000, they say. So he had to be able to have a mask to cover all of those particular kills and scars, so they had to bulk him up. So Corey Kelly said that by the time he took him from the Creed character of being able to run and be lean to bulk him up and be menacing, he was able to bench press. And I know you said this before, that, oh, what does the bench press have to do? But the idea that Corey had to sculpt his client into was someone big and brawny and in something resembling a safety or a Marine, and he was then able to lift 300 pounds twice. Just think about that.
Yeah. That's amazing. I was saying earlier that in the NFL, they put such a premium on the bench press. And if you look at the top 10 guys with the top 10 repetition scores, most of them haven't made the team. So what I'm saying is that the NFL general managers are putting way too much stock into one exercise, whereas I think what you're saying is it's the complete exercise in the whole body that really, really makes the athlete. Tell us what else. I mean, this movie, it's getting really good reviews, this, that, and the other. What else do you want to – we're wrapping up the segment here. We got about 2 minutes left in the segment. Tell us what else about the Black Panther as it refers to fitness and athleticism that you want our audience to know.
Well, it's just the elements of society that we're seeing now. Again, we talk about fitness, we talk about the appeal of a being, but it's more to that, and that's where Fit with Joy comes into effect. It's the health and wellness, the holistic approach. So they're talking about the mentality, the ability to withstand, to endure, to not just put your mind to it and get out there and do an activity and do be an athlete, be able to get to your peak fitness level, but to be able to sustain that, the stamina, to feel the pain, to feel the threshold and be able to go beyond it and go out of your comfort zone. And these particular actors are able to portray that. And they had to do it in real life, of course, trained to become those fictional characters, but we see that in everyday life. And with the Black Panther Party, they had to do that in their community. And there's a particular point in that 10-point program, an emphasis on pointers with Extra Points, the radio show. They wanted land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, peace, and people's community control on modern technology. Now, when I emphasize modern technology and the Black Panther, this 10-point, one of these particulars being a pointer, in the movie, we see a young lady, the sister of T'Challa, Shuri. She's played by Letitia Wright. The absolute marvel of seeing a young lady, black at that, we have technology nowadays advanced. We have particular programs at mathematics and science. We're not as representative. Us, me, particularly talk about young black ladies, and she is the brainchild, literally physically, behind the operation to the extent that she models, she designs, she thinks of formulas and ways and projects and expounds upon how her brother can be more of a Black Panther. Now, he has the physique behind, of course. He has the lineage that his father passes him on the kingdom, but she has the ability to possess the technology to get him where he needs to be and utilize his athleticism more appropriately. And so when I read that particular point from the 10-point program, the Black Panther Party, and use a parallel with the movie, it's not just, again, the physical when people had to train, but you're training your mentality
right.
as well. You're training as a whole society.
Well, I can tell you, it sounds like you have done thorough research on this movie. I definitely hope it makes all the money that it is due. $200 million is a lot of money. I'm sure it was a big budget in there for fitness. So maybe they need to call you to get them even fitter for Black Panther 2. Hey, listen, we got to take a quick break. But when we get back, I'm going to do my two-minute warning. And then if you'll stay with us, we're going to do some predictions as we still aren't at 500 yet. So can you do that?
I sure will.
All right, we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
We'll be right back. just born enough to play the game. We need money.
We need the money.
Talking about money, money, money.
We are back on the Extra Points Radio Show, and real quick, two-minute warning, pretty simple this week, and we got to get rid of the gun. I can remember being in elementary school and having play day, and we had to run the 100-yard dash. I won the race, by the way, but I won the race because I was so afraid when I heard the gun shoot off at the start of the race, and I ran for my life, and no one could beat me. Now we use a sound. We don't need guns anymore. You know, at some of these high-level track events, I've seen the gun go away, and they just make a sound, beep, and people run. We got to get rid of the gun. I mean, we just absolutely do. You know, I'm proud to say I was a card-carrying gun owner for a time in my life. And then there was a time when I just absolutely said, you know what, I don't want any part of this anymore. And I let all of my weapon gun holding things to expire. And I will not renew them. And I turned out okay. We got to get rid of these guns. That's a two-minute warning for today. And what we want to do now is we're going to come back to our predictions. And we still have with us Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, to kind of help us with these predictions. Now, you will find, Joy, that all of these predictions are local schools. And it's all college basketball. So I don't know where we're going to end up. But I know last week, 3-2, 15-21 overall. So I still haven't reached the 500 mark. I got a ways to go. But here's the first game. We got Navy, the Naval Academy, not known for its basketball since David Robinson, versus Boston University. Who you got in that one?
Wow, you just threw me for a loop there. I will definitely just say a real quick comment on your statement, and I'm in agreement that as a track and field athlete, I didn't think anything of it. When I heard that gun, I just took off, and unfortunately some people had to do the same, and they didn't make it. So we got to do something about these policies. But back to what you asked me most recently, as far as Navy versus Boston University, that's a tough one. I'm just going to go and shoot out of the dark and say Navy. I'll just go with the Navy. I'm not sure what Boston University is doing nowadays. I'm not sure what Navy's doing. I just know about football. But Navy basketball, yeah, Dave Robinson is all that comes to mind. So go with the Navy.
Right. Well, you'll be happy to know they've won 18 games this year. So they're the favorite to win that game. Mount St. Mary versus Sacred Heart. Ooh, I couldn't tell you where Sacred Heart is. I believe it's in Pennsylvania. But I don't know. What say you, Mount St. Mary's Sacred Heart?
Well, I feel like you're just asking me. I don't know if you've said your prediction yet.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you. I picked Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. Well, I picked Mount St. Mary not just because you just said you picked Mount St. Mary, but if I recall correctly, they were in the Big Dance last year. I'm not getting mixed up with another.
They were as a 16th seed. You're exactly right.
Exactly.
They played in the play-in game. Yep. They played in the play-in game against North Carolina A&T, won it, and went on to get blown out by Duke in the first round. Next game.
Hey.
Little George Mason, the Mason that could, versus LaSalle. I'm going with George Mason. You know I had Coach Craig Eschrick on the show a couple weeks ago. We've got one of their all-time greats in Tony Skins. Has been a guest on the show. I'm going with George Mason over LaSalle.
And I'm following suit. I don't know much about LaSalle. I do know that George Mason is here locally, and as you said, those wonderful individuals were on the show to lend some knowledge. So I'm going to jump on that bandwagon with you.
You got it. Next game. Now, this is going to be a tough one. This is tough. Two wonderful hospitals here. The Virginia Commonwealth University Rams versus the George Washington University Colonials. Now, if I was sick, I think I'd rather go to GW, but I remember you being a track coach over there. I don't know so much about their athletes. I'm going to stay with former coach Shaka Smart, who used VCU to get a head job. Give me VCU in that one.
Wow. Wowzy, wowzy, wow. So you put me with the DW and the VCO. We just visited Richmond, and we saw the atmosphere and how pumped up they're about their team and all the just this stare about it. So I'm going to go against them because I just, you know, kind of want to go with the underdog in a sense, even though I was a track coach and I'm not a track coach there anymore, goes without saying, but I still will go with the home team, the locals, the former team that I coached in terms of track, and go with the basketball team on that. GW, go Colonel.
Now, before you go with the Colonials, let me remind you, they have a first-year coach. And the reason why they have to get a new coach was the old coach was verbally abusive to the athlete. Are you sure you want to stay with the GW Colonials? I know you don't like any sort of abuse. And that guy was verbally abusive, and they fired him. So I'm going to give it to you again, VCU or George Washington. Which one you want?
I'm headstrong in my convictions in the sense that they made the right decision to get rid of that gentleman and put someone else in there. And so I think they're on the right path. So go and let me correct the way I said Colonial once again.
No problem. Well, if you thought that one was tough, buckle up for this one right here. Little Lafayette University, which is right outside of Philadelphia, versus your American University Eagles. I got Lafayette in that one. That's the only game so far that I've gone with the out-of-town. So VCU and George Washington are technically both local schools, even though VCU is 2 hours away. They got a satellite office in D.C. Okay, good. But AU Lafayette, I got Lafayette. What say you?
I'm going to go against my graduate university. I am. And this is why. It's just something, generally speaking, because I know you present these to me out of the blue, and I don't have any kind of way of researching, which I love to do. So with that being said, I'm going to go out of town with you. I'm going to go to Philly, as I did already. I went out of town with you, VCU, and I'm going to go with the Philadelphia team. I think that Philadelphia is seeing a resurgence of teams, and as you saw with the Super Bowl and the Eagles, I'm not going to go with the Eagle and American. I'm going to go against them being Philly with that brotherly love. And whatever the name of the team, I think you said Lafayette. You had me with LaSalle the other moment. So I'm going to go with that L team. They're not going to take an L, but they're going to win against American Eagles.
And, of course, the bonus game, North Carolina A&T versus Keith Howard, Howard University. I'm going with Howard in that one. Oh, by the way, back to that AU game. AU's only won 5 games this year. I think you made the right pick. I got Howard over NCA&T in a NEAC clash of the Titans. Who do you have in that one? What say you?
Oh, having went to a university for a year and the NEAC and HBCU and just being Black History Month, you can't lose either way. It's going to be good for the conference, and I know more about football. As I went to Bethune-Cookman University, they were more football-oriented. As I know that Howard is, so to speak, and so is NCA&T, and Tariq Cohen was there. He's now with the Chicago Bears. I don't even know what to say with these two teams, honestly. As I said, I've been 1 year at HBCU with BCU, and I didn't know much about the basketball. But I think I'm going to go with it. And I always say this incorrectly because I know it's agriculture. So I think it's Aggie.
That's correct.
Okay, woo! Yeah, that was tough. All my years of studying, that one was a banger. But, yeah, I'm going to go with them, the A&T Aggies.
Very good. All right, so I got to tell you, I only picked Howard because that's my last name. So I didn't put a lot of research into this. So we will see what happens. 15-21 is not good. But if I get – we picked 6 games. If I get all 6 right, I am 21-21, which makes me eligible for me to pay myself to go to Las Vegas unless, of course, a sponsor wants to do it. And if a sponsor wants more information about Extra Points, please reach out on the website at www.extrapointsllc.com, on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. Enjoy. We've got just about 2 minutes left. I wanted your comment on one quick thing as the Winter Olympics is halfway through. And I was talking earlier about the medals and how it just seems like we're fifth in the medal count. What do you think's going on with our Olympic team this year? We're fifth. Norway and these other teams are beating us. What do you think going on? Just a quick off the cuff comment on that, please.
I just believe we're Summer Olympic dominant. I don't know much about the Winter Olympics, but it's proven that we've just got our butts whipped, as I saw in hockey with Russia, and they do amateurs, but they also do some retired pro athletes. I just think we're Summer Olympics prone. Like, we like the whole the atmosphere of it being the summertime and us going somewhere nice and warm. I'm not too sure if we really pay attention. They don't show as much things of that nature with the winter sports.
Well, I know if you had your choice between running around a track and running around with a in a pair of tennis shoes versus ice skates, I think you'd pick the running shoes. Am I right on that one?
You are, even though I've tried the latter, and I think that I could probably be a good speed skater if the ice wasn't so tough.
There we go. Well, hey, Fit with Joy, we always love having you in and on and commentary, and we'll see you next week. How's that?
Okay, most definitely. I'd love to.
Very good. The extra point is up, and
it is forever good.
Went a long way to